Well, I'm talking to you today about a mother named Mary and what we can learn about our faith and victory from her life. If you were to go to a Catholic seminary, you would probably have the opportunity to take a course called Mariology. Look at somebody and say, Mariology. Isn't that a mouthful? And of course, the study of the importance in her life in terms of the church, in terms of what she did for our Lord and our Savior. And Mary, to understand her, was a Jew, not a Catholic. So that's overly simplistic. You know, it's important to remember and understand historically what she is and what she did. She belongs to the Lord and to the body of Christ, not to a denomination. Her age is unknown, but historically considered to be in her teens, possibly 16 years old at the birth of Christ. She was of the lineage of David and of the tribe of Judah, as was her husband Joseph. She was related to Elizabeth, who had married into the tribe of Levi, or the priesthood. Isaiah says this in prophesying the impact that she would have and her role to play. Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You'll call him Emmanuel, of course, which means God with us. Isaiah chapter 7, 13 and 14. Mary was unquestionably special. Of all the virgins in the lands of Israel at that time, she was picked. Historians tell us that the population was around 1 million. You can pretty much tell that that's a good number of women that would be qualified for that role. She had to be of the line of David, of the tribe of Judah, of the house of Israel. And God chose her for this task. She was highly blessed and favored. And same time, she was not sinless. This is where our Mariology departs from those in the Catholic tradition and faith. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 and 12 says, there's no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Look at somebody and smile and say, not even one, except Jesus. Aren't you so glad he took your sin and gave you his righteousness? While she almost certainly experienced scrutiny, judgment, rejection, reviling from people over this God-given path, she handled this awesome responsibility with great dignity and grace right down to the foot of the cross. Think about my mom's sister. My cousin posted something in honor of her. She went home to be the Lord several years ago, and I was privileged and honored to conduct her funeral. She was an interesting character for sure. But when she got the diagnosis of a stage 4 blastoma in her brain, which took her life shortly thereafter, her son was asking her, Mom, aren't you mad about the hand that you've been dealt, the responsibility that you have, how things are for you? And she told him, he never heard this before, and I never heard it before either. She told him she actually had a visitation from heaven. And the message to her was this: you can only totally control two things in life. One is your smile and one is your attitude. There is amazing truth in that, because everything else is subject to the variables that you and I sometimes understand, don't understand, the will of other people, the entrance of other factors. But you and I can control our smile. So go ahead and control it. And you can control your attitude. You yourself can make up your mind to respond to whatever happens in life, whatever responsibility comes down the pike, to handle that in an appropriate way. While she did not have relations before Jesus was born, she lived a normal life after his birth. Her humanity does not make her any less blessed, any more than the biological humanity of Jesus makes him less divine. They call this perpetual virginhood or being a perpetual virgin. It's not found in Scripture. For we know from Scripture she had other sons, other offspring. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1:25, but he had no union with her, speaking of Joseph, as her husband until she had borne her firstborn. Her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. But he did not consummate the marriage until after the birth of the son, the NIV says, and he gave him the name Jesus. In Matthew 13:55, it's not the carpenter's son, is this not mother, his mother called Mary, and are not these his brothers, James, Simon, Joseph, and Judas? Mary doesn't need to be what she was not to be what she was. And while we do not worship Mary or pray to Mary, we can certainly honor her, Jesus did. And second of all, we can certainly learn from her example. I've always had the conviction that she is maybe treated beyond what she is in some faith traditions, and she's not honored enough in the evangelical tradition. When I look at that life, I don't look at just what some man says or whether there's a statue of her or whether there's an aberration somewhere or a manifestation or if there's somehow, you know, a clause or a doctrine associated with her. When I look at the Scripture, I want to find out what I can learn from that person's life. And what you can learn from her life is extraordinary. Number one, she believed what God said about her. Incredible. We find the Scripture of the Nativity, of course, in Luke, but she says this in response to the message of the angel, what is going to be conceived of you is of the Holy Ghost. And of course, she is replying, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said. What would happen if you and I would start responding to God that way? Kelly just read you the Holy Scriptures from 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul. You will be enriched in every way. May it be to me as you have said. What an attitude. Whatever the Scripture says, what if we had that same mindset? Luke 1:42 says this, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear, Elizabeth said. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said, that he will accomplish that. I tell you what a powerful example it is. Whatever it says in the word, to believe it, to stop fighting and receive it. And you don't have to wait for somebody else to believe what God has said about you in Scripture. Come on, say it. I believe it. I'm a believing believer. I believe it. The Bible says that you're the head, not the tail. May it be to me as you have said. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. May it be to me as you have said. That's the mentality here. This really is the key to victory in life. Hearing what God says about you and then believing it. Amen. Come on, shout that out. May it be to me as he has said. Could you imagine being in her shoes? Mary, do you have something to tell the family? Well, you see the Holy Ghost. He said, everybody would have believed her. Nobody would have believed her. There's no reference point for what she was going through. They had little teaching on what, in fact, the Holy Spirit did and would do in a person's life. They understood him as El Elyon, El Shaddai. They understood him as God Almighty, not God the Spirit. They would have no reference point for this miracle, the things she must have put up with, and yet she believed. My point is she was under a whole lot more pressure not to believe than you and I are today. Look at somebody and say it again, may it be to me as you have said. That's the key. What has he said about you? Believe what God says about you. Believe when he says that you are loved, that you are loved. You want to say, I am loved by God. You are valuable. I want you to confess that. In God's eyes, I am valuable. You're precious and your worth is great. You have a purpose and a destiny. God wants to conceive in you something. Not the Christ child, but a dream, a vision. Something to impact people on this planet. You are transforming right now. God is literally changing you. And smile at your neighbor and say, and you could use it. Come on, say, He's changing me. He doesn't leave us how He found us. He's transforming us by the renewing of our mind and by the Spirit of God. He's changing us from one degree of glory to the next, from faith to faith. Amen. You are blessed and favored. No, Mary's blessed and favored. I'm telling you, you are blessed and favored of God. Why? Because the Lord went to the cross and redeemed you from the curse. And all that's left now is the blessing. He redeemed us in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles by faith. Confess it. I too am highly favored and blessed of God. God didn't run out of blessing and favor because He bestowed it upon Mary. It's on you too. May it be to me as you have said. The important thing is what God said, and then secondarily to that is believing what He said if you want to see what He said come to pass in your life. You are blessed. You have a family. Say, I have a family. Say, I have a family. You know, you never understand how important it really is to have a believer family around you until you go through a very difficult season, difficult time. I know people who just kind of hang around the fringe and they wonder why there's not that support, not that kindness, and not that love. I tell you what, when you're plugged in and you're part of the family, you go through a tough time, it's wonderful to have the family of God around you. And you have a family and you have a father. Now, I don't make a big deal about man calling other people fathers. Jesus said on this earth, call no man your father. But I understand what they're talking about. But we have a father. You have a daddy God. You have access to Him through Jesus Christ. Say, I have a family. Say, what's the name of the family? You're part of the Am family. He said, I am that I am. So you am blessed. You am favored. Amen. You am victorious. You am the head. You am the... Amen. Say it, I'm part of the Am family. I didn't say the Adams family. Somebody walking out of here said, Pastor said, I'm part of the Adams family. Say it, Mary teaches us to believe what God said about us. That's the connecting point. That's how something goes from declaration to manifestation. Is there anybody here that needs to see something manifest in their life? Yes. Right. Believe what God has said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No matter how outrageous the dream or vision, no matter how unlikely the promise of God it seems in the natural, believe what God said. Say it one more time. May it be unto me as thou hast said. Number two, praise God on the basis of nothing else but what was said. Praise Him. I love the fact that in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, she breaks out into song. Mary breaks out into praise. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Verse 46. Anyone can praise God after the thing promised comes to pass. Anybody can look at the fireplace and say, thank you for the heat. But understand this, somebody better put some wood in the fire. Anybody can say, there it is. Isn't that marvelous? A 16-year-old kid expecting the Christ child. Amen. She didn't wait to start praising God. She began to lift her voice up and sing. Many break out into a song of praise after it's happened. Mary broke out into a song of praise before it happened. Is there anybody here believing God for something? Well, go ahead and praise Him now. Praise Him now for what He said. Don't wait until it shows up. It should be a given that when God comes through like He does time and time and time again, you give Him thanks and honor and praise. But I tell you what shows your faith and your intimacy with Him is when you praise Him long before it manifests. You say, Pastor, I've been standing in the Word a long time. Stand a little longer. And keep praising Him. And keep praising Him. And then our praise naturally just goes into thanksgiving as things do manifest. Praising before the manifestation based on the word alone is a big key to victory in your life. Believing what God said about you is the first key. Praising God before you see it manifest is the second key. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot more to Mary than meets the eye. In 1 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat and the people praised God before the battle even began. The battle, listen, before the battle is praise. And if you'll battle with praise before the battle, amen, you'll win the battle. Come on, shout it out. The battle before the battle is praise. I mean, what army sticks a choir in front of its military column? That seems to me to be a turkey shoot. No, it released the anointing in the hosts of heaven. When you praise God, it releases an anointing for breakthrough. Whether you ever see it today or not, you keep praising God. Amen. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas praised in the midst of jail, locked, stocked, and barrel. They're stuck there. And the doors began to shake, amen. The place began to rock, and the doors flew open. You and I are so trained as Western thinkers that we will praise after the doors open. We are linear. No, we need to praise him before the doors open. We believe what he said unto us, and we praise before based on nothing else but what he said. Why? Because you can take it to the bank. Amen. Now, I found out the other day that Tim and Sarah are going to pay for all of us to go to Disney World. Isn't that nice of them? Look at that face. Look at both of those faces. But on the other hand, if somebody did for real say, you know, I'm going to do this, and you say, well, I doubt that, you're showing your lack of, faith in the character and the integrity of the person that actually said it. In our case, we're dealing with God. Amen. When he said it, you might as well take it to the bank. It's going to happen. Amen. He said he would change you. He's changing you. He said he would provide for you. He's providing for you. He said he would heal you. How many people have ever been healed by God before? He did it. He said he would guide you. He guided you. He said he would give you peace in the tough times and comfort. And he did. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he has not forsaken you. He can be trusted with everything you have not seen manifest yet, because he is a God that can be believed. We don't look at him and disparage his character by saying, well, we'll see. No, we know when he says something, he will back it up with action. What do we do in the meantime? We praise him. Let me ask you again, are you believing God for something?
Yes.
Then go ahead and praise him now. Praise him now. Give him praise now. Give him praise now. On the basis of his word, praise him now. Amen. Extraordinary. She never got to go to a Kenneth Hagin seminar. She'd never been to Bethel. But she knew how to believe God and what he said, and she knew how to praise God before anything manifested. See, my feeling today is we might have emphasized the wrong things about Mary. She's a whole lot more than a birth channel for the Messiah. Number three, do what he tells you to do. The victory is in the hearing and the doing. If you hearken diligently, Deuteronomy 28 says, diligently unto the voice of my word, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. That's what the word says. But the key is we have to be people who hearken. We have to hear with an attitude to do. Say that with me. I have to hear with an attitude to do. Well, you read John chapter 2, it's the recording of the wedding at Cana, the first miracle, and they run out of wine. Basically, Mary implores Jesus to do something. He's like, well, it's really not my time, but you know what? My mama asks, Are you here? She was so in tune, not just a vessel of birth, but so in tune with God, she knew this was supposed to be the first miracle. And she tells the people, do what he tells you to do. He told them, fill the water pots out with water. And of course, they were transformed into wine. Everybody saw the miraculous power of God. And it's important to understand, this is not a story about a wedding, and it's not a story about wine. No. People all uptight about the wedding, all uptight about the wine. It's about the power of God. Amen. And because of the illustration here, it's about an example. And powerful word that will change your life today if you get a hold of it. Do what he tells you to do. When it comes down to it, follow through. Do the thing he has led you to do. Do the thing he's told you to do. Big or small, they're all important in the kingdom of God. Because the miracle is in the command. You will see this principle throughout Scripture. Say that with me. The miracle is in the command. Come on and say, I'm going to believe what God has said about me. Say, I am going to praise before anything manifests. And say, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Now that's some Mariology. Shout it out, the miracle.
Miracle.
See, the miracle,
is
in the command. Think about it. In Matthew 14, 29, Peter begged Jesus, if it's you on the water, let me come unto thee. And Jesus said, come. And what did Peter do? He did what he was told to do. Jesus and Peter are the only ones we know that ever walked on water. Say what you want about the boy, but he started out well. Amen. Matthew 12, 12, he told the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And what happened? He did what he was told to do, and his hand was made completely whole. In John 9, 7, he told a blind man, go wash in the pool. He went and washed in the pool, and the Bible says he came home seeing. He did what he was told to do. In Luke 17, 14, he told the lepers, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, what happened? As they did what they were told to do, they were healed of their leprosy. Shout it out one more time, the miracle is in the command. Say it again, the miracle is in the command. Do your own study and you'll find out the Bible is filled with people who did what God told them to do, and the result was a supernatural breakthrough. There's a widow in the Old Testament that even Jesus bragged about in Luke chapter 4. She was given provision during a famine, but she first was told to make a cake for the prophet. She did what she was told to do. And she never suffered lack from that day on. Amen. Yes, it's in fact perfectly fine to give honor to whom honor is due. But the greatest thing about Mary, this mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest thing is her example that she modeled. Say it one more time.
She believed
what God said about her. She praised God before anything happened. She did and told others to do what he told them to do. That's where the breakthrough is. Anybody here need a breakthrough? Amen. Anybody here need a breakthrough? So I encourage you. No, I'm not going to recommend that you pray to Mary. We have one mediator between God and man. Yes. Amen. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes. But just like every other person used by God in Scripture, we absolutely can honor what they did for him. Yes. Right there, before the birth of Christ even takes place, She's providing us a recipe for a victory that any Christian today can follow. I challenge you once again and encourage you, believe what God says about you. He's never going to tell you what he told Mary. But what he is saying to you from his word and in your heart, believe what he's saying. Amen. Don't wait until it shows up to praise him. Amen. And do exactly what he tells you to do. These are anointing releasers in your life. They will transform you and other people around you. If you can receive this today, stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap and thank him.